All right, open your Bible back to the book of Psalms, not too far away from our scripture reading. Psalm 115. Psalm 115, the Bible said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord." What a contradiction. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. How much different is that from trusting in idols? He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. I direct your attention to verse 4, the second half there where it says, the work of men's hands. Idols, false gods, false religions are the work of men's hands. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then on the sixth day, in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1, it says God created man. And he created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. In one verse, created is mentioned three times. And then ever since Cain, Adam's son, men have attempted to reverse that to where the human being creates God. And he does so in his own mind and in his imagination. And then he forms an image, an object out of God-created matter and materials, a statue, a wood carving, or a painting in the form of either a human being, an animal, or the sun and moon. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things," or the corruptible man, Santa Claus, four-footed beast, the reindeer, birds, the Thanksgiving turkey, creeping things, the Easter bunny. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, that which was created by God, the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." These objects that are made do not have life. You can make objects and things and machines out of created materials, but you are not creating. In order to create, you would have to create without those materials. You would have to create the materials from nothing. And you would have to have the power to produce life in those objects. You can carve a mouth, but you cannot make it speak. You can assemble parts and electronic components together and produce a sound, but it's only a recorded sound of a human voice that you did not create. You can paint lifelike eyes on a canvas, but you cannot cause those eyes to see you. You can attach little ears to the side of your statue, but they cannot hear or understand sounds. You can glue on a nose, but it cannot smell. You can put hands onto the little arms that you made, but they do not have the sensation of touch. The feet that you nailed to the ends of the legs does not produce movement unless you yourself pick it up and move it, or program it to move. There is no sound that comes from their throats after a thought that was formed in their minds. You cannot have a conversation with it. You can make a computer and have a program that program will make it speak after you give it the information to work with. But it's only a recording of your voice. So all you're doing when you talk to a computer or a smartphone is you're talking to yourself. And I believe that's one of the signs of insanity. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now let's return to Micah's house in Mount Ephraim in Judges chapter 17. And there in Mount Ephraim, in another few generations, it will be called Samaria and the northern kingdom of Israel, separated after King Solomon from the southern kingdom of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. In Judges 17, the Bible says, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed, and spake of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord for my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and he made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." We have been looking for a few weeks at how to lose your religion. How to lose your religion. Micah and his times were the first thing that we saw. And we saw that they were very, very similar to our times. In verse 1, there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. Verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own times. Micah in his time, perilous times, times of uncertainty and apostasy from the truth and from the Word of God. There's a semblance of worship here, but it's only an empty form. It's only a ritual. The true God and His true Word is missing. But the words are there. What seems to be here that's not missing? Instead of worship to the one true God, what's truly worshiped here is self and pleasure. In verse 2, we were introduced to his mother. He said unto his mother, the 1,100 of shekels that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed and spoke of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord. Micah and his mother, she used all the right terms. She said, blessed be thou of the Lord. She said, I wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. So she says spiritual terms, biblical terms, but she did the same things that the heathen Hamite Canaanites that she lived around did. And she embraced the heathen idolatrous Babylonian religion while professing the religion of Israel. Through her wrong influence, she passed this same religion and lifestyle to her son Micah. And that then Micah is going to pass on to his son, who passes it on to his son. Verse 5 said, and the man Micah had a house of gods. And he made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Micah and his times, Micah and his mother. Now let's look at Micah and his gods. Let me reduce all of this down to a sentence. Micah believed that he could worship God in his own way, regardless of God's instructions from his word. Is that not the mantra that people are following today? And when you point out what the Bible says that contradicts their beliefs and their practices, they attack you personally and fall back on their out that what I'm reading to them from the Bible is only my interpretation and it's legalism if I apply it to them. Micah made a religion that was the work of his hands. I see, first of all, in verse 4, that Micah had his gods made. Micah made his gods. He had them made at the foundry, at the idol-making shop. Said his mother took 200 of the 1,100 shekels and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. They were his design, or rather his mother's design. So he actually made the idols. He made his gods. He never second-guessed or questioned himself if he was right, because he would be going against his own mother. And after all, mothers are never wrong. Look how expensive these two gods were. 200 shekels of silver compared to the 10 shekel annual income of the priest in verse 10. By the way, I wonder if she ever got around to telling Micah that those two gods didn't really cost 1,100 shekels. She kept 900. They only cost 100 apiece. Micah, his family, and his mother enjoy a nice little religion. And their nice little religion is acceptable to their neighbors and agreeable with the culture that's around them. It's pleasing to the eyes to look over on the shelf and see those polished silver gods smiling at you. sort of gives you a warm and fuzzy feeling to know that you're right and all is well with your world that you made for yourself. You see, these gods belong to him. He owned them. He possessed them. So to criticize these gods is to criticize Micah. And to criticize his family and his heritage. This is a religion that's going to increase in value, especially when the price of silver and gold goes up. He loves his religion because of what it gives to him. It removes curses and turns them into material blessings. There's no sacrifice involved. I'm going to put that back on, so it's going to probably make a scratching noise. And Taylor's going to aggravate me about that. They try to keep me from breaking stuff, but, you know, oh, that's just come completely off the clip. I see. Well, hang on. I'll get it. There, got it. All right. You can take them out of East Texas, but you can't take it. Where was I? So I hope Taylor can get that out. But if you just heard a loud scratching noise, maybe that'll wake you up anyway. So, all right. The silver gods, the golden gods, they increase in value. What you put in to your religion, you get back. And he loves his religion because of what it gives to him. It removes curses and turns them into material blessings. And there's no sacrifice involved. You see, what you give comes right back to you. It may be in a little bit different form. Instead of silver coins, it's a silver statue. These gods don't demand anything of you. They just sit there on the shelf until you have a need. Then you just take them down, wipe the dust off, and polish them, and say the magic words, the incantation, the prayer, and poof, you get what you ask for. Oh, it's a wonderful religion. It doesn't make you feel guilty. It doesn't talk about your sin. It doesn't confront you with your disobedience to the Lord and to His Word. It doesn't bother your conscience. You just go through your little ritual that you made up and poof, the bad stuff is all gone. You don't have to give up anything. You can still dress like the world. You can still look like the world. You can still talk like the world. You can even cuss like the world. You can listen to the world's music. You can bring the world's music into your worship service at your house of your gods. You can believe exactly what the world believes. But the question we have to ask, because Micah's not going to ask it, well, he will in the next chapter, but as of right now, he's not going to ask it. Is this a revealed religion and worship and service of the Lord from His Word? Or is this for His own glory, Micah's own glory and honor? Is it a revelation from the Lord? Or is it an idea that formed in the mind of Micah? Is it a man-made religion and worship for self and for the glory and pleasure of self? Or is it for the glory and honor of the Lord? Is time and money and talents given grudgingly? Or are they given joyfully? Is it a delight to get up on Sunday and come and worship the Lord with your church family? Is those talents and those offerings and that time, do you give to the Lord freely? Or did you really want to keep it for yourself? Do you really want to serve the Lord for His honor and glory and benefit, or for what you can get? Do you choose the church based on what they can give to you, or from what you can give to the church? Does your religion ease your guilt? Does it cause you to lose your pain and sickness? Does it give you a good job and more money and better behaving children and a husband that is kowtowed to the wife's will, or a wife that won't nag and complain? Is that what you're looking for in a religion? Do you look for a church that agrees with you instead of a church that challenges you through discipleship and fellowship to grow and align yourself with God's Word? You see, Micah made his gods with the work of men's hands. Micah's gods and Micah's religion was made. In verse 5, I also see that Micah not only made his gods, he made a shrine. He made a house for his gods. Right there in his house, in a separate room, or maybe out back. I mean, you have to have a place to put all of your gods. I read yesterday that the average size of a family home has doubled since 1950. The average size of a house has doubled since 1950. Twice as big. More gods to house. Micah built his own church. That way he didn't have to answer to anybody as to what he believed or did. Why, you don't have to belong to a church. You don't have to be a part of a church family with its biblical structure. No. You can start a church in your living room. Invite all of your family and friends. There won't be anybody there hollering a message from the Bible. Now, we'll just go around the circle. And each one will give their opinion. But because it's my living room, my opinion is the one that counts. Then we'll hum and chant to a guitar or to the music that we prefer. And we'll then, after that's over, we'll bring out the keg and watch the sports game on the 55 and a half inch screen that doesn't even hardly fit in your living room. You have to sit part way into the dining room to watch the game. Oh, having your own religion sure beats doing it God's way. Yes, sir. You see, individuals don't start churches. Churches start churches. Or there's no biblical authority. And if there's no biblical authority, then you become the authority. And in those days, there was no king. There was no authority in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's your religion. You made it. It's your church. You made it. So you get to make up the rules. I also see in verse 5 that Micah made an ephod. An ephod. That's the special vest that the priest wore as he ministered in the tabernacle at Shiloh. And of course, this one was Micah's own design. It was just a t-shirt. This business of the Lord being worthy of our best when we gather to worship Him, that's so in the past. Now, unless you go somewhere really important, like a date, or to a fancy restaurant, or to the prom, or to the courtroom, then you know, you have to dress up. But to go in the presence of God and worship Him, no, you can just wear your shorts and your flip-flops. Who cares about reverencing the Lord? That's Old Testament. But you see, if you have your own religion, you have to have a priest that you can control and tell what to do. I mean, after all, you're paying his salary. So that means he works for you, not the Lord. So not only do you tell him what to wear, you tell him what he can preach and not preach. Or we'll just take our money out and the church will fold. Let me tell you something. Take it out now. Because it's not dependent on you. The Lord finances His ministry. You see, when it's your religion, when it's your church, when it's your pastor that you hired, all of his authority is by your permission. Or you just fire him and take his place. I mean, after all, who's more qualified to run your own church than you? You don't have to worry about biblical qualifications or biblical training under the leadership of a pastor. You don't have to worry about a church examining you to see if you're ready, that they can recommend you to another church. You don't have to go through all that. Just get you a comic book and read through it, and you're qualified to be your own priest. And you can just wear your t-shirt ephod. I mean, after all, you made it, you designed it. As opposed to, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. See, the problem is when you trust your religion, your opinion, your gods, your self, when you need it the most, going to fail you. Israel, God's people, instead of trusting yourself and what you think God ought to do, put your trust in the Lord, put your faith in His words, what He said. Trust in the Lord, then He will be a help and a shield. preachers, pastors, trust in the Lord. He will be your help and your shield. Don't trust in a salary. Don't trust in the deacon board. Don't trust in the leading church member that's putting all the money in. First of all, you shouldn't even know what anybody's putting in to start with. Trust in the Lord. You'll find out that He is your help and your shield when they won't. You that fear the Lord, you that reverence the Lord, you that honor the Lord, you that take His word and not only believe it, not only bring it into your heart, but live it out. He said, you that fear the Lord, trust Him. Trust Him with every part of your life. Then you will be dealing and worshiping with a Lord that dwells not in temples made with hands. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, that we have Your word. And not only do we have it, we have the assurance that these are Your words, that You have given us faith as a free gift to put our trust, our hope, our belief in these words that You said. Lord, thank You that we don't serve ourselves. Lord, thank You that we didn't have to make this up. And Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes to the truth. I pray You would use this man, Micah, and his mother, and the events that transpire to teach us, Lord, to lose our human, man-made religion and receive You as Lord and Savior, and submit our lives and our wills to You and to Your will and to Your word. Lord, thank You for these that listen to Your word. I pray it would find a resting place in their heart. We lift up our prayer request to You. Lord, we lift up our concerns as a church family. We lift up the concerns in our community. And Lord, we first of all thank You that it could have certainly been a lot worse than it is. Lord, thank You for You still being God. I pray that it would cause us to reverence You a little bit more, to appreciate You just a little bit more, and to be thankful for a place that we can come and gather together with our church family and worship You and be discipled from Your word and enjoy the fellowship of Your people. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are listening that have never received You as Savior, that they would do so right now. They would open their hearts in belief and in trust and in faith in what You said in Your word, that if You called and asked and believed in your heart that God would save you, that they would do so right now. Lord, I pray for Your people. Wake us up. Wake us up to the hour that the day is getting far spent. It's time to get busy and do Your work until You come for us individually, are come for us collectively. Lord, we love You, and I pray, Lord, our speech and our actions would not contradict Your word. Now, Lord, during this invitation, Spirit of God, would You speak to hearts and draw them to Your side, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.